Welcome back to Spontaneous Remarks, the podcast where you never know what's going to happen, what's going to be said or done. You just have to know what we're talking about today. Today, we're going to continue on into our journey into nostalgic nerdness, and we just have to spin the wheel of Nerdville to find out what we're talking about today. Now, be sure to hit the follow button. Be sure to hit about and give us a rating if you enjoy the topics of the show. Make sure that you share on Facebook, Instagram, whatever you can share it to, just to try to get the podcast moving in the right direction. Guys, I really appreciate your listening, your support. And if you enjoy it and want to keep hearing episodes, then go ahead and do that for me so we can get as many people listening as possible. So first off, we're going to get to spin the old wheel of Nerdville to see what we're talking about today. And here we go. Come on now. All right, it's time to set phasers to stun, initiate the launch sequence, get the shields up ready for action, hit the red alert button, and let's not forget, engage. As this episode of Spontaneous Remarks, we're talking about Star Trek. Beam me up, Scotty! Welcome back to Spontaneous Remarks. I'll be your host, Mark. Thank you so much for joining in with us today. We've got a very deep subject to talk about, and hopefully we can get it all done in this episode. Episode 4 of Spontaneous Remarks. Thank you so much for listening. So we're going to dive into the world of Star Trek, and this is a very, like I said, a deep subject. The Star Trek franchise actually started September 8th, 1966. Now, I know, I was talking about, me growing up and wanting to do this show as something just, nostalgic for my childhood. Well, my Star Trek began because my sister was a big Star Trek fan, but I really enjoyed watching the movies with her. And then also The Next Generation come out in the 80s, so that was kind of my Star Trek. She grew up watching this. It was on in syndication after school. So I saw the original series, off and on then. But Star Trek is set in the 23rd century following the ventures of the starship USS Enterprise and its crew led by Captain James Tiberius Kirk as they explored space, encountered alien civilizations, and dealt with many different social and political issues, all allegorically. Now, despite initially low ratings, the series actually gained a very devoted fan base and became a cult classic thanks to all the progressive themes, diverse cast, and even the thought-provoking storyline. Surprisingly, it was canceled after only 3 seasons in 1969, which I didn't really know that at the time when I was growing up, obviously. We didn't have things back then like, Wikipedia, Facebook, Google, and all that stuff, so I didn't even know that at the time. But the franchise's cultural significance extends far beyond any television roots. I mean, it spawned Star Trek The Next Generation. That ran from 1987 to 1994. Like I said, that's what I grew up watching. Star Trek Deep Space Nine was 1993 to 99. Star Trek Voyager, 1995 to 2001. And then the prequel of everything, Star Trek Enterprise, 2001 to 2005. And each series explored different aspects of the Star Trek universe, introducing new characters, species, and storylines while maintaining the franchise's core values of exploration, cooperation, and tolerance. Star Trek's expanded, as many people know. I mean, there's media, books, films, novels, comics, video games, and merchandise. We're all collectively known as Trekkies, and we celebrate Star Trek's ideals of optimism, diversity, and scientific progress in many different ways. Now, culturally, Star Trek has had a profound impact. Not only does it influence science fiction, but also popular culture at large. It's funny because I always tell people, a lot of people used to make fun of Star Trek and make fun of nerds, but a lot of the technology we see in Star Trek, or we have seen in Star Trek, we actually use today. computers. I mean, we can actually now talk to Siri. We could talk to Alexa, and that's what they did on Star Trek. They would say, computer, and would tell the computer to do something for them, or analyze this, or scan this, and the computer would do that, just like we have AI today. We have things that we can use today. The tablets on Star Trek are iPads today. I mean, everything that we see. The only thing we hadn't invented yet is teleportation. And I'll tell you what, that would cut back on a lot of commute time. So, anyway. Star Trek franchise, that has been one of the most enduring and influential properties in popular culture, embodying the spirit of exploration, discovery, and the human capacity for progress. Gene Roddenberry is the creator. He had a visionary outlook on the future of humanity. He conceived Star Trek as more than just a science fiction adventure. It was a platform to explore complex social, political, and ethical issues while presenting an optimistic vision of the future. Exploration, as we all know, you know, Star Trek starts off space, Bing. The final frontier. Bing. These are the voyages of the Starship Bing. Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, and to boldly go where no one has gone before. What in the world is this? Oh my gosh, turn this crap off. Anyway, you get the point. Well, anyway, that's kind of what you heard. Not really. But anyway, that's what Gene Roddenberry's vision was all about. Exploration, both in outer space and of humanity itself. Star Trek depicted a future where humanity had ventured out into the cosmos, encountering all kinds of new civilizations, species, phenomena. And the exploration wasn't just about boldly going where no one had gone before in a physical sense, but also about exploring the depths of human potential, curiosity, and understanding. One of the most notable aspects that Star Trek had was a commitment to diversity and inclusivity. Roddenberry intentionally created a diverse crew for the USS Enterprise, including characters of different races, ethnicities, and backgrounds. This diversity was not just superficial, but it was so important to the show's message of unity and cooperation. By showcasing a future where people from all walks of life could work together harmoniously. And Star Trek promoted that idea that diversity is not just a hindrance, but a strength. Perhaps the most enduring theme of Star Trek is its unwavering optimism about the future. Despite the challenges faced by the crew of the Enterprise, they always approached situations with hope, ingenuity, and a belief in the fundamental goodness of humanity. Gene Roddenberry envisioned a future where humanity had overcome its petty conflicts and prejudices, and where poverty and disease were largely eradicated, and where people worked together for the betterment of it all. And the optimistic outlook served as a beacon of hope for his viewers, inspiring them to strive for a better future in their own lives and communities. Roddenberry's vision for Star Trek wasn't just for entertainment. It was a reflection of his own beliefs and values. And through the themes of exploration, diversity, and optimism, he sought to inspire audiences to imagine a better world and to recognize the potential for positive change within themselves and society at large. And decades later, his vision continues to resonate with audiences around the world. And that's what makes Star Trek not just a beloved franchise, but a cultural touchstone for generations of fans. You know, earlier I talked about the technology. So many technologies depicted in Star Trek, they have inspired those real-world inventions. I kind of touched on it, but, you know, we have the communicator, essentially a handheld device for communication. Well, now we have smartphones. Not only that, but tablets. I mean, we have the iPads. Even the voice-activated computer systems, like I mentioned earlier. I mean, it's crazy to think that back in the 60s, Gene Roddenberry envisioned computers where we can talk to him, and now here we are where we could say things like, "Hey Siri," and I heard it over there, my iPad beeped. And it's just interesting, medical advancements, all these medical things that happened. I mean, the show depicted devices like the tricorder, which could diagnose medical conditions quickly and non-invasively. Today, researchers are developing similar handheld diagnostic tools for real-world medical settings. Additionally, the concept of regenerative machines, or I'm sorry, medicine, as seen with the use of dermal regenerators to heal wounds in Star Trek, that has influenced research into tissue engineering and wound healing technologies. The only thing we hadn't got to yet is space exploration. I mean, we're getting there, but you know, with Star Trek, they did inspire generations of scientists, engineers, and astronauts to pursue careers in space exploration. And the show's portrayal of the future where humanity explores the cosmos and encounters alien civilizations, it just pushes the boundaries of knowledge, and it's captured the imagination of millions. So many individuals involved in space exploration, NASA astronauts, a lot of them have cited Star Trek as a source of inspiration for their careers. Now, let's talk about the original series for a little bit. TOS, the original series, they explored themes of exploration, diplomacy, and morality, often used as allegorical storytelling to address contemporary social issues. Now, Captain James T. Kirk, Dr. Leonard Bones McCoy, those are two characters iconic, known for their chemistry and dynamic relationships. Not to mention Mr. Spock, bless him. I love Spock. He's one of my favorite characters. And, you know, the original series laid the foundations for Star Trek franchise, including audiences to have the concept of space exploration and the crew of the USS Enterprise. Star Trek The Next Generation expanded on those themes of exploration and diplomacy while delving deeper into philosophical and ethical dilemmas. Captain Jean-Luc Picard and Captain William Riker, Lieutenant Commander Data, and Counselor Deanna Troi are among the notable characters known for their depth and complexity. Jean-Luc Picard, he is one of the, Patrick Stewart, he's just an amazing actor. And then William Riker, played by Jonathan Frakes, Commander Data, played by Brent Spiner, and then Deanna Troi, played by Marina Sirtis. They were all just that whole cast was just an amazing cast of people working in that, that show just filled my childhood with such, it was such a fun time just to watch. I wanted to be there. I wanted to be on that ship. And I've often said if there was a Starfleet Academy right now, I would definitely join because that is one thing I've always wanted to do. That'd be something cool to do. Now the Next Generation introduced new alien species such as the Borg, which were like, synthetic zombie type bad guys, and the Ferengi, and it further developed Star Trek's universe's lore and mythology. And then we have a couple that I never really got into, even though I do love Star Trek, Star Trek Deep Space Nine. They explored themes of politics, religion, consequences of war, offering a darker and more serialized approach to storytelling. There's Commander Benjamin Sisko, Major Kira Nerys, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Odo, and Quark are among the ensemble cast known for their nuanced character development. And then there was Star Trek Voyager. I did think that the Star Trek Voyager's story was pretty interesting. I don't remember exactly what happened because this is another one I didn't really get into. They had been attacked by something, sent 100 light years away or something. It was going to take like 74 years to get them back to Earth. And so they had to make this long voyage back. Captain Catherine Janeway, the first female captain we saw. Commander Chakotay, Lieutenant Belana Torres, and Seven of Nine are among the characters known for their resilience and adaptability. Star Trek Enterprise was the prequel to these. Scott Bakula played the captain, Jonathan Archer, and this explored the early days of space exploration and humanity's first steps into the unknown, reflecting on the challenges and ideals of the fledgling United Federation of Planets. Each series within the Star Trek universe brings its own distinct flavor and contributions, which enriches the franchise's mythology and continues to captivate audiences with its exploration of the final frontier. Now, let's go back to the original series and talk a little bit about those characters. Captain Kirk, he epitomizes leadership, bravery, and charisma. He's a very interesting character. His adventurous spirit, moral compass, and willingness to challenge authority make him such a compelling figure. One thing that he's always been known for is he was the only one to defeat the Kobayashi Maru. And I'm not going to tell you what happened. You just have to watch the movies and find out. But that was a no-win scenario. You had to choose whether to try to go save a ship called the Kobayashi Maru because it was stranded in the neutral zone. But hold on, the neutral zone, well, there was a treaty. And if you crossed into the neutral zone, you were in violation of the treaty. And you were immediately attacked by Klingons or Romulans or whatever the case may be. It was a computer simulation. So go watch the movies and figure out how he was able to defeat those things and just enjoy it because it was very interesting. Now, Spock, he was half human, half Vulcan, science officer, and he was the embodiment of logic, intellect, and emotional complexity. It was his struggle to reconcile his Vulcan heritage with his human emotions that adds the depth to his character. Spock's stoic demeanor, sharp wit, and iconic catchphrases like live long and prosper have made him one of the most beloved characters in the franchise. Fans are drawn to his inner conflict and his journey of self-discovery. One funny thing to know about Spock is that me and my wife were watching Big Bang Theory the other night. We are a little bit behind. We're watching it on Max. But Sheldon had got a cardboard cutout of Spock. But it was Zachary Quinto's Spock, not Leonard Nimoy's, and he was not happy about it. And then we go to the Next Generation, Captain Jean-Luc Picard. Now, he was a symbol of wisdom, diplomacy, and moral authority. He had thoughtful leadership, intellectual curiosity, but he also had that commitment to principles that made him a respected and admired figure. Picard's eloquence, integrity, and sense of duty have endeared him to fans. His nuanced portrayal of leadership, coupled with his moments of vulnerability and introspection, make him such a relatable and inspiring character. And if you've never seen any of the Star Trek shows, if you can catch the Next Generation episode called Tapestry, it's an amazing episode all about Jean-Luc Picard, so check it out. Commander Benjamin Sisko of Deep Space Nine, he is a complex character and he embodies resilience, pragmaticism, and moral ambiguity. His role as both a Starfleet officer and a religious figure adds layers to his character, and it was Sisko's determination, strength of character, and unwavering commitment to his beliefs that resonate with many fans. His journey from a grieving widower to a revered leader showcases his depths and evolution as a character. And then we have Captain Catherine Janeway from Voyager. She is just a trailblazer as the first female lead captain in the franchise. Her intelligence, resourcefulness, and material instincts make her a unique and compelling character. Janeway's strength, resilience, and compassion made her a role model for fans, particularly women, obviously. And her unwavering dedication to her crew and her willingness to make tough decisions in the face of adversity have earned her a place in her fans' hearts. And then, last but not least, we have Captain Jonathan Archer from the prequel called Enterprise. Archer was a pioneer. He led the humanity's first steps into deep space exploration. Then we have Captain Jonathan Archer from Enterprise. He was a pioneer leading humanity's first steps into deep space exploration. His optimism, sense of adventure, and determination to uphold Starfleet ideals despite the challenges make him a symbol of hope. Archer had an adventurous spirit and a sense of duty, plus a belief in the potential of humanity, and that's why he resonated with his fans. And his role in laying the groundwork for the future of Starfleet and the United Federation of Planets also adds very much a significance to his character. So let's talk about the films for just a second. So we had 6 original series films, the motion picture, Star Trek The Wrath of Khan, The Search for Spock, The Voyage Home, The Final Frontier, and The Undiscovered Country. Those were the original series with the original cast, all 6 movies. And then The Next Generation had 4 movies, Generation, First Contact, what was the other two after, I don't remember, Insurrection. Oh, and Nemesis. And after those four movies, well, the Star Trek movie stopped until they revitalized the movies with the new cast with Zachary Quinto, Chris Pine. They went back and did kind of a reboot of the series, which, there were good movies, but I didn't like the direction they took them. And you'll just have to watch them. I'm not going to give you any spoilers. If you want to know, go watch the movies. Now, one thing that I really enjoyed about the Next Generation show and it's something that we've not figured out how to create yet in modern times, but it was the holodeck. Now, the holodeck was a sophisticated virtual reality environment that simulates realistic experiences for its users. And here's how it worked. First, the holodeck would utilize advanced force field technology to create physical objects and environments within its simulated reality. Now, we've got, virtual reality now, but not like a holodeck. Now, these force fields are capable of generating tactile sensations, allowing users to interact with objects and surfaces if they were real. The holodeck employed holographic projection systems to create lifelike characters, settings, and objects, and these holograms were three-dimensional and can move and interact with the environment and other characters. You controlled the holodeck by the ship's computer system, which generated and managed the simulated environments and characters, and users can interact with the computer to customize their experience and select pre-programmed scenarios. So you go in there and say, hey, computer, Hamlet, Act 1, Scene 4, and it would project these holograms to do what Hamlet, Act 1, Scene 4 would do. And so you could essentially act out your own play and be that character that you wanted to be. The holodecks provided users with a fully immersive experience by stimulating all five senses: sight, sound, touch, taste, and smell. Now, the holographic projections are indistinguishable from reality, allowing users to engage in a wide range of activities and experiences. And there were safety protocols as well to ensure the safety of its users. The holodeck is equipped with safety protocols that prevented physical harm or injury. And these protocols monitored users' actions and intervened if there was any risk of danger, such as colliding with objects or falling from heights. And so the holodeck did consume significant amounts of energy to operate, drawing power from the ship's warp core or other energy sources. And because of this, the usage of the holodeck is typically regulated to conserve energy and prevent strain on the ship's systems. Now, one thing I will say that's kind of funny that I always thought was interesting about whatever problem that happened on the Star Trek, The Next Generation, you would always have some horrible problem within the ship, and they couldn't figure out how to do it, how to fix it. What were they going to do? Power systems were failing, and life support was going down. And then all of a sudden, about 45 minutes into the show, Lieutenant Commander Geordi LaForge would say, "Oh, maybe if we increase the warp core just this much, it would allow yada, 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 yada." And the show would be, that would be the way to, the solution to fix whatever the problem was. All you had to do was like eject the warp core or turn the power up some, turn the power down some, reroute this, reroute that, and then all your problems were fixed. So essentially, either Geordi LaForge was a genius or the ship was built in a way to fix itself if you wired it right or something. I don't know. I always thought that was kind of funny. But all the episodes that I really enjoyed that had something to do with the holodeck were Data would always do Sherlock Holmes scenes from the book or whatever. And I always thought those were really interesting. Anything to do with the holodeck, I really enjoyed. People got stuck in the holodeck one time. There was an episode where Moriarty, the Sherlock Holmes enemy, wanted to get out. He figured out what the holodeck was, and he devised a plan to escape the holodeck, which at the time, anything that passed out of the door of the holodeck that was a hologram would disappear because it was a hologram. It could only exist in that environment. If it was passed through the door, it would just disappear and cease to exist. But he figured out a way to get out of the holodeck. And then they had to figure out how to stop him because he wanted to take over the Enterprise. And anyway, look, Star Trek, there's so much more of a deep ocean to go into with Star Trek. All the lore, all the characters. I mean, I didn't even touch Data that much, and he was the Spock of the Next Generation. Instead of being a Vulcan filled with logic, Data was an android, and that's all he knew was logic. He didn't know emotion because he was an android. So just like Spock, he always had the emotion problem. He couldn't get a joke because he didn't know how to process that in his neural net, I think is what they called it. But Star Trek has left such a profound, lasting cultural significance throughout these years. It's amazing. I always wished that I could be like a J.R.R. Tolkien or a Gene Roddenberry and create something from nothing like that. I mean, even Klingon. Klingon was created. The language of Klingon was created by someone. It's an actual functioning language. And it's just incredible to me that people can just come up with this stuff. And I always wish I could do that. I've yet to do anything like that. Anytime I come up with an idea, I think it's too similar to something else. We've already got this. And history repeats itself, and so does Hollywood. So does TV shows. It's all the same story. It's just told by different people with different characters. But anyway, hey, look, I thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Spontaneous Remarks. Be sure to like. Well, you can't like. It's a podcast. You can rate it. Rate it a 5-star if you like it. Please, please. That tells me you like it. Share with as many people as you can to try to get more traction on this podcast. I would really love to grow and see it flourish and thrive and be able to do this for a lot longer in the future. But I thank you so much. I really enjoyed doing this episode. I love Star Trek. Thank you so much for listening. Now, our journey doesn't end here. Remember, there's always going to be new adventures awaiting us among the stars, new discoveries to be made, and new stories to be told. So I'm your host, Mark. And until next time, live long and prosper. See you on the flip-flop.